Well, welcome to our second week in a series that is based on Deepak Chopra's The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success and how that overlaps with the teachings of Science of Mind or Centers for Spiritual Living. And so those seven laws in Deepak Chopra's book are things that enable us to create success or affluence or abundance in all the different areas of our lives. And so he talks about in his book the word affluence and that it comes from the word affluere, which means to flow to. And so that means then about having affluence and that flow of good in all areas of our lives, having harmony and peace and fulfillment and ease and joy in our relationships and in our finances and at our places of work and with our friends and in our inner life and in our spiritual life, having that success or affluence in all of those different areas. And so we're looking this week at chapters 2 and 7, which are the law of giving, or the law of giving and receiving, and the law of dharma, which is living on purpose, living with purpose in your life. Because both of those things are things that create affluence for us in our lives and an abundant living. And so I want to begin today just by looking at the idea that everything that exists is made out of energy. Everything. And that energy is constantly in flux, in motion, never static, never still, always moving. And so it's easy to imagine that or to see that if you like think about the human body, how everything is moving all the time. Everything is changing and interacting with each other. We see that exchange not just with the different areas and systems in our bodies, but even with the outside world, that there's a constant exchange of energy with our bodies and the outside world. So we take in food, and that food is then transformed into muscle and tissue and bone and eyelashes and hair. We breathe in the air, and our body takes the oxygen out of it, which then feeds those muscles and tissue. We exhale the carbon dioxide, which is then taken in by the plants, which then brings forward oxygen again out of them. We see it in our blood, how the blood flows through our bodies, carrying that oxygen and then releasing it into our tissues. That exchange going on and that movement, that interaction all the time. So everything is moving like that also. Not just our bodies, but everything in the entire world is moving and changing and in flux like that. Constant exchange of energy in our bodies with each other, constant exchange of energy with the outer world with us. And that's happening everywhere. And so we see that same kind of exchange so easily in our relationships, with words and love and care and all the exchanges that go on a relationship. We see that at our places of work, in our creativity and our intelligence and how that comes forward into our work, which is shared in the job that we're doing. And they in turn give us a paycheck as well as the interactions with people that we're working with. We see that exchange all the time. It happens between all people that we meet, and it happens with our money, this constant exchange of money. I think it's funny because sometimes we tend to put money in the separate category of everything else, when in actuality, money is just a form of energy. And it's a form of energy that we exchange with other people. It's a symbol that we can exchange. You think about the Native Americans who exchanged shells or beads. There's no inherent value in money itself. It's just a form of energy that we exchange out of gratitude, out of appreciation for services rendered, that we trade back and forth as a symbol of that energy. And the funny thing is also, money has no value unless it's being exchanged. That's where it has value, not when it's just sitting there doing nothing. And so that universal energy then, that energy that everything is created out of, is expressed in a myriad of ways. It's expressed as money and as love and creativity and joy and wisdom and health and care and life. That energy is expressed in as many different ways as there are people and things on this planet. It's different everywhere, but it's the same exact universal energy that is the basis of everything. Everything is that energy. And so one of those ways that we experience that energy is by our giving and receiving, by our sharing, our give and take with other people. And the funny thing is that also because we are spiritual beings, we have this need also to give and to receive. We have a need to share of ourselves. We have a need to express our own talents and our gifts and who we are on the inside. We also have a need to receive. We have a need to receive from others, to receive love and care and appreciation and kindness, goodness and beauty. We have a need to give and we have a need to receive. And so Deepak Chopra calls that the law of giving and receiving. And Ernest Holmes calls that the law of circulation. It's the same thing. But the thing is about that law is that you have to give in order to receive. You give first in order to open that flow, in order to receive. Because what happens is when we are holding tight, when we are holding with a closed fist, nothing can get in. Nothing can flow through. We obstruct the flow with that tight-held fist. And that's the truth whether we are talking about money or love or friendship or kindness or any ways that that energy is expressed. Holding tight obstructs the flow. Think of it just like taking in a breath and then holding your breath and not letting it out. As long as you don't let that breath out, you can't take in any more oxygen. You have to take it in and then release it, and take it in and then release it in that flow. And so when we give of ourselves, when we give of our good, when we give of our money, when we give of our talents, of our skills, that is how we open ourselves to the flow of greater good. Eric Butterworth, in his book, In the Flow of Life, says, "There is legitimate abundance for every person, which one can and must claim for oneself, and that lack of any kind in human experience is the result of some kind of obstruction in the free flow of the creative process." So when we experience ourselves in lack, there is somewhere that there's an obstruction, whether it's an obstruction in something that we're believing or where our attention is, or in that giving and receiving, because all of those are things that create abundance in our lives. Because the truth is we live in this field of pure potentiality. That's what the talk was about last week. Deepak Chopra talks about we live in this field of infinite possibilities, this pure potentiality, and that everything is available all of the time. And it's available to us because we are part of that one life. We are part of that expression of the divine, part of that whole. So we are also part of that circuit and part of that flow. Ernest Holmes says, "God cannot help making the gift because God is the gift. God can't help making whatever it is that you're thinking that you want in your life because God is that thing in expression. God can't help making the good that we desire because God is that good unfolding and expressing itself." And so then, if we are constantly in this flow and we are constantly in this field of pure potentiality, we obstruct that flow in three different ways. And the first way that we obstruct that flow is by not giving. And normally, the reason that we don't give is because we think we don't have enough to give, and so we hold tight. And that's whether we're talking about money or friendship or time. Not giving any of those things constrict the flow. And if you want more love in your life, you give more love. If you want more friendships in your life, you give as a way of being a friend. If you want more money in your life, you give the energy of money. That starts that law of circulation and that flow. Because in Luke 6:38, out of the New Living Translation of the Bible, it says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back." We open the flow to the degree of which we are giving. That's the thing that creates the flow of circulation in our lives. So we open that flow through our giving wherever it is that we give. And so the second thing that we do that tends to obstruct that flow is by not giving of our gifts and our talents and the things that we contain within us. And the most often the reason that we don't give of those gifts and talents is because we don't know what they are. Because we haven't explored them. We haven't spent time looking within and asking ourselves, what is it that I'm good at? What is it that just comes naturally to me? What are my natural inclinations? What is it that I like to do? Those are the things that are your natural gifts. Those are the things that you are called to give to this world and one of the reasons that you're here on this planet. And every single person has unique gifts and talents. We each have ways of expressing them that no other person on this planet does. Look at Lindsay playing the piano this morning and singing. No one else on this planet does it like she does. Every single one of our gifts and talents are just like that. We express them in a way that nobody else can or does, and we gift the world with that when we share that with the world. And so perhaps one of your gifts and talents is your love of children. Or perhaps it's being able to be present with people through the good times and the bad times when life is difficult. Maybe it's about your ability to just listen to someone. Because, you know, one of the biggest needs in this entire world is to be seen and to be heard. It is a huge gift to listen to somebody else. Maybe your gift is that you are mechanically inclined. Thank God for you, because I am not. Maybe your gift is your humor, or maybe your gift is your ability to organize data in a way that is easy to understand. Thank you, Tina Cruz. Maybe your gift is to be able to synthesize information from disparate places and to bring it together like my best friend Tracy does. Maybe your ability is to cook. We all have lots and lots and lots of gifts and talents and things to share with the world. I told this story before, but it's just such a great depiction of this that I have to tell it again. Years ago, I had a really good friend, Sharon, and she had cancer. And when she was going through cancer, she had a group of people that wrapped themselves around her. And people were at their home every single day. People were cooking and cleaning and doing the laundry and running the errands and going grocery shopping and helping take care of needs and making phone calls and all those things that she needed that she wasn't able to do at that time. And I was there talking with her. And I remember at some point giving myself a hard time. Boy, I'm not doing all those things those other people are doing. I should be doing that. But you know what? The gift that I had to bring to her was I could talk about the fact that she was dying. She couldn't talk about that with anybody else. Nobody else could sit in that space and be with her and talk about what that was like for her and what that meant for her and what that was going to be like for her. That was the thing that I brought that was my unique gift in that situation. And so Deepak Chopra talks about bringing those gifts in a way that meets a need and how that is the thing that creates Dharma. And so I'm going to share with you how he says that in his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. He says, everyone has a purpose in life, a unique gift or a special talent to give to others. And when we blend this unique talent with service to others, we experience the ecstasy and the exaltation of our own spirit, which is the ultimate goal of all goals. And he goes on to say, there is something that you can do better than anyone else in the whole world. And for every unique talent and unique expression of that talent, there are also unique needs. When these needs are matched with the creative expression of your talent, that is the spark that creates affluence. That's how we activate that flow, when we give of those gifts that we have inside of ourselves in a way that meets a need in the world. That is the thing that makes the circle complete. That's the law of circulation. Because when we do that, live with purpose in a way that meets a need, it enables us to experience our spirit. It enables us to experience our essence. It enables us to experience who we are and who we've come here to be, uniquely, differently than anybody else. And that's the thing that allows that circle to be complete, that circle of life. We feel blessed in giving. They feel blessed in receiving. We feel blessed in their feeling blessed, and it just goes on and on and on. So when we share of our gifts and our talents in a way that serves other people, that is how we give way to the divine. That's how we bring God into this world. That's how we bring spirit through us as conduits to life. That is how we feel most fulfilled when we share like that. That's how we step into that boundless flow of good. And so then the third and the last way that we obstruct that flow of good in our lives is by not receiving, by not letting in the good from life or that others want to share with us. And most of the time, the reason that we don't let that good in is because we think we don't deserve it. We have some story that we're not good enough, that we don't deserve it, and therefore we block that good from flowing into our lives. It's kind of like if you had a blood clot. With that clot, with that stoppage, no oxygen can get to the other parts of the body. And then they start dying. When you block that flow of good from others sharing from you, things become stagnant and things start dying and you don't feel fully alive and you don't feel like you're fully thriving. And so you remember last week in the talk, I talked about judgment. And how when we judge other people, what happens is it blocks the possibility of it being anything else. Is all we can see is that one judgment that we hold. There are no other possibilities of anything else happening. There are no possibilities of that person being any different. It blocks the flow of good. It blocks that affluence in our judgment. The same thing happens when we judge ourselves. We get stuck in that judgment and no other possibilities can present themselves to our mind. No other possibilities can be true in that moment while we're holding that judgment. And so we block the good from coming to us. The truth is you deserve. The truth is you deserve all the good that there is in this world. You deserve it, and you are enough. You deserve it. You are enough. You are magnificent. You are beautiful. You are goodness, and you deserve to have that good. You are all that you need to be. And I want to say it again. You are deserving. You're deserving of all of the good. You are enough, and you are magnificent, and you are beautiful. And you are all that you need to be. And so now I want you to affirm that for yourself. So will you repeat after me? I am deserving.
I am deserving.
I am enough.
I am enough.
I am magnificent.
I am magnificent.
I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
I am all that I need to be.
I am all that I need to be.
So when you start yammering at yourself in some judgment, tell yourself that instead. I'm all that I need to be, and I deserve the good. And so in our receiving, what happens also is it makes that circle complete. It allows other people to feel fulfilled because then they get to give.
then they get to share with us. Then they get to share their own unique gifts and talents with us, and we receive them, which allows them to feel fulfilled, which allows them to step into the flow and have greater abundance in their lives. And so my invitation to you this week is to ask yourself that question. What are my gifts and talents? What am I really good at? What is it that I have a natural inclination to do? What is it that comes easy for me? What is it that I like to do? And journal. Make a whole list of those things that you like to do that are just inherently your gifts. And then also write, how can I help? How can I help? How can I make a difference? How can I serve humanity with any of those things off of that list? Journal about it, because until we sit down and take some time, we don't really come up with those answers. It takes exploring. And remember that whatever it is that you're here to do, that thing to serve the world, to make a difference in the world, is the thing that fits you. You don't have to do what is somebody else's to do. You have to do the one that fits you and comes naturally to you. And then another thing that Deepak suggests in this book that I absolutely love is to make a decision to give something to every person that you meet. And so I invite you to do that, whether you do it for a day or whether you do it for a week. Make a decision to give something to every single person that you come in contact with for that day or for that week. And I want to read it to you how he says it, because it's so fabulous. He says, the best way to put the law of giving into operation, to start the whole process of circulation, is to make a decision that at any time you come in contact with any person, you will give them something. It doesn't have to be in the form of material things. It could be a flower, a compliment, or a prayer. In fact, the most powerful forms of giving are non-material. The gifts of caring, attention, affection, appreciation, and love are some of the most precious gifts you can give, and they don't cost you anything. So make a decision to give in order to start that flow everywhere you go, everyone that you meet. And so remember, give first. Share your gifts and talents in a way that meets a need, and be open to receive from the people around you and from life itself. And as a result, you will be experiencing greater success, greater affluence, greater good, more peace, a greater sense of fulfillment, greater abundance, and living that affluent life that you're meant to live. And so blessings to each and every single one of you as you bring your own spirit and that presence into this world in a way that only you can. Blessings to each one of you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment right now. And so how good it is to answer that call of prayer within us, to answer that call of the divine that is constantly and endlessly beckoning us to come home to it. That presence that resides at the very center of our being, that is the infinite one. That is this very essence of life, that is love and peace and goodness and boundlessness, that one who is so magnificent and opulent that I can't even possibly wrap my brain around that, what that even means, infinite, that is the infinite one from which all things have sprung forth, that infinite one that maintains and sustains this entire universe with its energy, with its creative impulse, with this thing that we call life, that is expressing itself all around us everywhere that we go, expressing itself in and through every single person and animal and tree and plant and bird and situation and relationship and place of business. Everywhere we look is just teeming with this presence. And so today we open our eyes and see that in a whole new way, that we walk in this presence at every single moment, And not only is it all around us, but it is within us. It is within every single muscle and tissue and cell. Every molecule of our being is permeated with and pulsates with this energy, this intelligence and this energy, that is the very essence of our bodies, and that this spirit is the essence of our soul. For we are incarnations, out picturings of that one, a piece of God, a part of the whole. Godlings, little pieces of light here. And so how good it is today to be in this place of remembrance, to be in this felt experience of this one. And so I know that as we leave here today, that we walk in this presence and that it goes before us and opens the way, that it fills our homes and it fills our lives and it fills our hearts and our relationships and our places of work. Everything and our financial lives are filled with this teeming abundance. And so I recognize that not only is this the truth for us, but this is the truth about every single person on this planet, that infinite presence is right where they are, in every body, in every heart, in every mind, in every home, in every decision, in every choice. We are each and every single one of us being led and guided and nurtured and lifted by this one. And so good is unfolding as a result of that in a way that it never has before. And how wonderful it is to recognize that. And so that is the truth today that I rest in, that I claim, that I own, that I know, because that, again, activates the law. And so we rest in this truth. And so I say thank you, God, for all of this. And so it is.